Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and next week we celebrate the great Feast of Pentecost, which brings to a conclusion the Easter season. And so on the seventh Sunday of Easter, we can ask again the question I've been asking right along. Does the resurrection mean anything to us? Are we convinced that it happened? Does it change the way we look at things, the way we think? Does it make a difference in our lives? As I pointed out, the prayers that we hear each week indicate that something should be happening if indeed the resurrection was true. So, for example, we're told that we're supposed to be overcome with Paschal joy, overcome with Easter joy. Are we overcome with Easter joy? And then the very next line says we should be exulting in God's praises. Now, to exult means not just to be filled with joy, but to be extremely joyful. And the word exult itself means to leap up. Has anyone seen us leap up suddenly while shopping at Wegmans or doing the laundry or mowing the lawn? In other words, does the reality of the resurrection really get into our bodies, our minds, our hearts, so that the way we think and do things has changed? The resurrection, as the church teaches us, has unleashed joy into the world. And we saw that early on. The early church was convinced that not only had Jesus died, but he rose from the dead, and through his rising from the dead, he had defeated the power of sin and death once and for all, and so that the people didn't worry about anything. They weren't afraid about anything. They went about their business with a whole new conviction and trust in God, and people shared everything. They didn't hold anything back, but they gave it freely so that other people could share in what they had. And the apostles were emboldened. We have Peter and John not hiding out in a locked room, but rather going to the temple and preaching outright that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and telling the people that this is what they must believe. Then we're also told by the scriptures that because of the resurrection, we are children of God and heirs to the kingdom. Now, does that give us joy? Does that give us joy to know we are kin of God? We are his relatives. We are his children. And every week we hear in the Eucharistic prayer that if we are faithful, we will be co-heirs to the kingdom with God the Son, Jesus, which means we're going to inherit everything. Does that affect us? Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's an indication that we are in tune or in sync with the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And therefore, that fruit, that joy, indicates that, yeah, we do have a high level of trust and conviction. If we don't have that joy, then we have to ask ourselves what's going on. And as, again, readings over the past have told us, if we have a problem that's getting in the way of our belief, our trust, our conviction, our ability to live the gospel fully and completely, there's things we can do. We can repent. Sin is a burden, it is a wall preventing us from grasping that great joy of the Lord. We're also told one of the previous weeks that we need to be pruned so that we can bear much fruit, fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of joy. And so in pruning, we have to do that ourselves. What do we need to cut off from our lives, cut out from our lives, so that we can see more clearly the goodness of God and do what we're called to do as his disciples? So God provides us with everything we need to really have this joy, but do we actually use it? And Jesus calls us his friends. Last week he says, I'm not going to call you slaves anymore, I'm calling you friends. Okay, here is God himself saying, you are my friends. Can it get any better than that? Do we have joy as a result of knowing that we are friends of God? And that's something we need to share with other people. We have to let them know that God wants everyone to be their friend, God wants everyone to be his friend. He wants everyone to be his child. He wants this deep down relationship where we as children always know that the Father is there to love us and guide us and help us so that we can be fully engaged in our faith, in what we are called to do. Today's gospel basically says that our joy is in Jesus, or we could even say our joy is Jesus. And in his prayer to the Father, as he gets ready to leave the disciples, he says, I want their joy to be complete. Just as my joy, Father, is in you and it is complete, I want my followers to have this great joy and to be on fire with the faith. So there again, if we look at Jesus, who is our Savior, who is everything, our foundation for everything, do we take joy in our relationship with Jesus? Would we say, if we were asked the question, well, what makes you joyful? What gives you joy? What gives you peace? What gives you this fullness of life? Would we immediately say, well, it's Jesus? Or would we say something else? And yet, without Jesus, there really is no joy. It's all about Jesus. And there again, Jesus himself is praying to the Father, Lord, Father, give them this joy that I have. Give it to them completely. Let them share in my joy. So in one sense, again, it's being given to us through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's not something we need to work for, but rather to simply accept from God. But again, we have to take time to think about our relationship with Christ, to pray, to ask the Lord to fill us with joy, to work on it, to practice it, to practice being joyful people. So it's not just a feeling, not something that comes and goes, but rather is a deep down conviction that really all is well. And as long as I keep my focus on Christ, I will know that. So despite what things come along that may be difficult to deal with, I can always say, Jesus is my joy. He wants me to share in his joy completely. What am I doing in terms of my life to kind of jumpstart that joy? How am I serving my brothers and sisters joyfully? How am I inviting other people into joy? Because when we do that, we are bringing the light of Christ into their lives. We're taking some darkness away. We're taking some of the burden of evil away from them so that they can sort of get their heads above water and begin to breathe deeply and see more clearly that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And of course, again in the gospel today, we're told that God wants us to be fully connected with him. And Jesus says, Lord, Father, consecrate my followers in truth. Consecrate, that is, make them holy in the truth. Make them sacred in the truth. Let them know the fullness of truth so that all these things can flow from them. Love and joy and patience and kindness, generosity. So there again, Jesus is asking his Father to consecrate his disciples, and that's us, to make us holy so that we can be partners with the Lord. We can be his children. We can be his friends and go forth and proclaim the gospel. And Jesus makes it very clear in the gospel today. He wants us to be one. He wants us to be united. United in the conviction that he and he alone is the Savior, that he tells us what to do. And again, he says in the past weeks, if we obey his commandments, we are his friends. So he tells us that all we need to do is to be consecrated in the truth, to accept that truth, and to live God's truth, not my truth. God's dream, not my dream. God's will, not my will. But God's truth that he gives us freely. So if we want unity, and unity brings its own joy to know that there are other people just like us, maybe struggling, but still focused on Jesus, still desiring to flourish in the name of Christ, still trying to figure out what it means to be a child of God, to be a friend of God. But still, as a group, we do it joyfully because we know this is how God is calling us to be one, to be a joyful body of disciples. And that's what one archbishop put out as a vision for his diocese. He wants a community of joyful disciples. And what a power that would be. What a powerful witness that would be to the gospel if we had that here, if we were a community like-minded in the truth, made holy by Christ, to be joyful disciples and to take that joy into the world. And it's doable. It's what God wants. He promises us that we will be able to do that if we are obedient, if we do His will, if we focus on what God has told us to do and to be. So there's nothing mysterious about it. It's rather, again, we have to make a choice each and every day. Who am I going to be? Who am I in the eyes of God? How do I want to grow in who I am? And what do I need to cut away? What do I need to prune so that I can bear better fruit in the world? So next week, as I say, we celebrate Pentecost, the end of the Easter season. It's a good time to think about our desires in terms of gifts from the Holy Spirit, because there are seven, and I have it in my handout. And I'm just asking you to think about which of those gifts would you really like to focus on or ask the Holy Spirit to give you and help you to develop. What might they be? So there are seven. What are they? So the next week when we celebrate the end of the Easter season, we can focus even a little bit more on what we hope for, what we desire to be, and what we need from God so that we can be the joyful people we were created to be, the Easter people, the people that are overcome with Easter joy, the people that exult in the praises of the Lord, in a people that make it clear that we believe in the resurrection, that we live that resurrection each and every day, and that one of the ways it is shown in our lives is through joy, the joy that comes from God Himself.